Welcome to the Bethel Mennonite Church Sunday Worship Podcast, and thanks for tuning in. I'm Pastor Jordan Farrell. On today's podcast, we're going to have some music, hear from two service adventure participants, and reflect on a story from Mark chapter 12. But first, here is Jerry Martin with a few announcements and our call to worship.
Hi, Bethel community. First, Shalom Partners started up this week, so please check in with your partners one time during the upcoming week. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, ask or reference email from this current week. To the church office is changing up the email schedule a bit, so watch for announcements, opportunities to connect, and resources for staying healthy. There's a lot of digital stuff coming out of the church these days. That's the best way for us all to stay in touch during this time, and email is one of the most important, so pay attention if you can. What a week of waiting and wondering. Wondering about each cough, sneeze, fleeting sense of fever. Waiting for the next bad news shoe to drop. Wondering if life will ever be the same. Waiting, hoping that normal might be just around the corner again. Wondering how things can change so fast. How can one week have so many ups and downs? At a time like this, the long perspective of history's ups and downs is at least a little bit helpful to me, and in particular, the story of God and God's people in the Bible. I've been reading stories like that this week, and I hope you have too. And this morning, let's just read one story in Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God will not let your foot slip. The Lord who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, God watches over Israel and will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. The Lord will watch over your life. God will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Let's pray, and I invite you to join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Coming up next, we'll have a song from Bethel's house band called B-Grade Bluegrass Band. They'll be singing I Don't Know Who Holds Tomorrow, which was recorded earlier this year at a wedding reception. Take it away, folks.
I don't know who holds tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. For I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know. Thank you. step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter, every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining, there no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Tomorrow, it may bring me poverty, but the one who holds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood. Tomorrow, I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
Hello, this is Brian Miller, and I'm here at the Service Adventure household with Ruben Feldman and Delia Milka, who have been serving here in Colorado Springs and with our Bethel community for the past about 8 months. Both of them are from Germany, and unfortunately for us, they are being called home now early, so they won't be able to finish their term, which would normally last until the middle of June. Well, we wanted to take a few moments to talk to them about their experiences here in Colorado Springs and maybe what they learned and where they're headed in their lives. So, Ruben, welcome, and please let us know, what did you learn here in Colorado Springs, and what did you enjoy?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say thank you. It was an awesome time here. I'm really sad to go home, but probably to compare the culture I grew up in and that I got to know here was the biggest learning for me, to see how people live and how also their relationship to the government, how they see the government and how the country is led more different than in Germany. Mm-hmm. And yeah, when I come back, I was planning to go to university and study mechanical engineering, and I hope that that will still work out.
Well, good. When would you start doing that? Would it be in the summer or the fall?
It will probably start in September, so yeah, it's still a little bit.
All right, thanks, Ruben. How about you, Delia? What did you do here in Colorado Springs, and maybe what did you enjoy?
So I worked with people with disabilities. That gave me a new perspective to see those people. And in general, yeah, they're different here, the people, how they live. And yeah, that was new for me, but yeah.
So what do you think you're doing when you get home in the near term?
I'm going to do an apprenticeship for 3 years to learn how to work with people with disabilities.
Is that a study kind of term, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's a study.
You get a degree.
I get a degree for that. Yeah.
All right, very good. Well, I just wanted to say thank you from Bethel. You've really made an impact on all your volunteer work with us, and you've helped kind of further some of our missions as well, and it's been a real pleasure having you here. And we wish you all the best as you head back to Germany and start living the rest of your life, hopefully remembering what you did here and who you knew. Thanks again.
Bye.
Bye.
Our scripture passage today is Mark 12, 28 to 44. I'll be reading from the New International Version. This is divided into four sections, and I'll give you the title of each section as we go along. The first is the greatest commandment, verses 28 to 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." From then on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Whose son is the Messiah? Verses 35 to 37. While Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, "Why do the teachers of the law say that the Messiah is the son of David?" David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, "The Lord said to my Lord, 'Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.'" David himself calls him Lord. How then can he be his son? The large crowd listened to him with delight. A warning against the teachers of the law, verses 38 to 40. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." The widow's offering, verses 41 to 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on."
Let's begin our time of reflecting on Scripture with a prayer. Please pray with me. Resurrected Lord, in his letter to the churches in Rome, Paul writes that he is convinced neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. During the season of life in which we are cultivating your shalom through physical distance, may your love draw close, and may our relationship with you and with one another be strengthened. We ask, Holy Spirit, also that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer, the one who redeems both our thoughts and our words. Amen. Last Monday, I had a video conference call with a group of pastors and ministry leaders from across Mountain States Mennonite Conference. During the call, we asked questions about how we could best help our congregations and our communities navigate this strange time. We offered words of encouragement to one another, and we reminded each other that we are in this together. Toward the beginning of the call, Pastor Randy Spaulding from Boulder Mennonite Church said something that's been cycling through my heart and my mind all week. He said that at Boulder Mennonite, they stopped using the phrase social distancing to describe the current responsibility that we are all sharing. Instead, they decided to use the phrase physical distancing. Physical distancing. The reason they decided to use this phrase rather than the other seems to be twofold. The first is the phrase physical distancing is actually a better description. It's more accurate. And second, social distancing seems to be the opposite of what we need to be doing right now. The last thing that we need during a moment of crisis is to be socially distant from one another. I've been reflecting on this piece of wisdom all week, and I think our siblings in faith are right. What's needed right now is for our relationships, for our social life, to grow stronger and closer together. Or to put it in terms of our Lenten focus here at Bethel, what's needed right now is God's shalom, God's peace and well-being. And for the sake of our collective health, this social nearness, this shalom, needs to happen at a physical distance, at least for a little while. Their insight about how to better speak words of shalom during a time of anxiety got me thinking about irony. Actually, it inspired me to start praying about irony this week. I fully recognize that the phrase social distancing is here to stay. It's being used by people all over the world to describe what's needed right now. However, perhaps when we reach the other side of this season, it will end up being an ironic phrase. Perhaps social distancing will end up describing a time of physical distance, of social solidarity, and of God's shalom. Irony. It's an odd thing to pray about. One way to pray about irony is with hope and anticipation. That's how I've been praying about it recently. I've been praying with hope that the phrase social distancing will eventually describe the opposite of what you and I first imagined when we heard it. Another way to pray about irony is by giving thanks for moments when something didn't work out the way we expected. Often irony is at the heart of humor. Irony is what makes the fish-friendly sharks in the movie Finding Nemo, and really the entire movie of The Three Amigos, funny. Sometimes having our expectations disrupted can cause us to laugh, and genuine laughter is a gift of God's grace. It can be a reminder that our expectations and our perspectives are not sovereign, and that's something to be thankful for. At times, giving thanks for the comic relief of something like irony can be a type of spiritual discipline. It can remind us to not take ourselves too seriously. And while there are times when we can hope for and perhaps even give thanks for disrupted expectations, there are other times when we might have a very different response to irony. There are other times when irony can be tragic. There are other times when having our expectations disrupted can create pain and anxiety and trauma. In these moments, I think the best way to pray about irony is to lament. At least that's the case in our scripture passage today. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus points out a tragically ironic situation that leads him to lament. Our passage picks up in verse 28, when a scribe overheard Jesus arguing with a group of religious and cultural leaders. According to the middle part of verse 28, the scribe was pretty impressed with what Jesus had to say, so he decided to toss some more fuel onto the flame of this heated conversation. "Which commandment is first of all?" he called out. During the time, this was a hotly debated question. And Jesus' response was not an overly radical one. He named the Shema as the first commandment and quoted a passage from Leviticus as the second greatest commandment. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And again, the scribe appreciated what Jesus had to say. And the two were in basic agreement. The most important thing in life and in our faith is to love the Lord God and to love one's neighbor as oneself. This is the heart of the faith. This is the expectation that faith cultivates in people. Fast forward a few verses then, and we see Jesus lament a moment when this expectation of the faith is tragically disrupted. In verse 38, Jesus declared, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus' lament and warning exposed an incredibly tragic irony. The people who were entrusted with the responsibility of helping others learn the heart of the faith, well, they were the same people who were blinded by the perception of their own glory. They were the people who were devouring widows' houses. When he finished speaking, Jesus sat down opposite of the treasury, and he watched this tragic irony take place in real time. People with great wealth put large sums but low percentages of their resources into the treasury. And then a poor widow put in two small coins. And according to Jesus, it was everything she had. It was all she had to live on. The widow was devoured by people and by a system that lacked shalom. She was devoured by people and by a system that lacked well-being, that lacked wholeness, and that lacked peace. During Lent, we've reflected on the different aspects of God's peace. We've talked about material shalom and well-being. We focused on the social aspect of shalom and how your well-being and wholeness is woven together with the well-being and the wholeness of your neighbor. This week, we're giving our attention to the moral and ethical aspects of shalom. In Psalms and in 1 Peter, peace is described as the opposite of deceitful speech. Peace, God's shalom, includes practices of honesty, integrity, and straightforwardness. In our passage today from Mark chapter 12, Jesus offered words of warning and judgment against the scribes because their actions and their words were void. They lacked shalom. The reason Jesus lamented this tragically ironic situation is because God's desire for our lives and for our communities is that we would be people who cultivate holistic peace. As people seeking to follow Jesus together, God's desire for our lives is that we will live out the two greatest commandments with integrity and with honesty and with straightforwardness. God's desire is that we would love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we would love our neighbors as ourselves. Loving God and loving one's neighbor as oneself takes creativity, especially now. Right now, we are in a strange season of life, where we're going to have to figure out how to give and receive God's love in new and creative ways. Which means we're going to have to commit ourselves to the spiritual discipline of learning in new and creative ways and listening in new and creative ways. In the hours, days, weeks, and months ahead, we need to listen to one another and to our neighbors because there is a lot to share. Each one of us is carrying the burdens of life in our own way. Whether those burdens feel like isolation, anxiety, unemployment, grief, fear, cabin fever, or illness, or like some other heavy weight, each one of us needs to know that we are not alone. You are not alone. As our spaces of gathering and conversation change, so too do our practices of listening to others need to change and need to grow. In the hours, days, weeks, and months ahead, we need to listen to ourselves, which can sometimes feel a little odd. But that's the second part of the second commandment. Jesus says to love your neighbor as yourself, which means you need to learn to love and to listen to yourself, too. When you need to take a deep breath, take a deep breath. When you need to go outside so that you can stand in the sunshine and be wrapped in its warm embrace, do it. When you need to navigate an exhausting situation, remember that you are resilient and you are loved. Listen to what you need and do your best to be well. In the hours, days, weeks, and months ahead, we also need to listen for the presence of God's Holy Spirit. As the Apostle Paul writes in his letter to churches in Galatia, we need to remember, when we hear love, joy, and peace, we are hearing the tune of the Holy Spirit whispering in our ears. When we see patience, kindness, and goodness, we are seeing the colors of the Holy Spirit fill our eyes. When we feel gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, we are sensing the presence of God. During this time, we need to give our attention to God's sustaining presence. As we listen to our neighbors, ourselves, and to the presence of God's Holy Spirit, there will come a time when we need to respond. When that moment arrives, may we respond, may we speak, may we give, may we receive, and may we act in ways that cultivate God's shalom. May we live the two greatest commandments with integrity and with creativity, because if we do, then perhaps we will be able to transform the phrase social distancing into the ironic phrase that we hope it will be. Please pray with me. God of resurrection and life, in the hours, days, weeks, and months ahead, grant us the grace, the courage, and the creativity we need to be people of your shalom. Amen.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, praising thee, their Son above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround the earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, blooming meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortals, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Love divine is reigning o'er us, leading us with mercy's hand. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music lifts us onward in the triumph song of life.
As we wrap up our inaugural Sunday Worship Podcast, I want to thank everyone who helped put it together. Thanks to Jerry Martin for being our worship leader, to Delia and Ruben for sharing a faith today, to Bethel's Bluegrass Band and to the wonderful quartet of Brian, Jody, Jerry, and Jeanette for music, to Roger Weaver for equipment setup, and to Brian Miller for working on the production elements. And thank you to you all for tuning in. I invite you now to receive these words of blessing. In the hours, days, weeks, and months ahead, may the Holy Spirit grant you the grace, the courage, and the creativity you need to share in God's shalom.